Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Cinema Wave Podcast. We're back to talk about The Acolyte. This time it is episode 6 of the Disney Plus series. I am one of your hosts. My name is Darian Scalamoni. I am joined, as always, by Mark Iacobino.
How's it going, Darian? Hey, everyone.
We got only a few episodes left, Mark, and not much to talk about, maybe, but we were talking a little bit off camera, and I think you were surprised by me saying this, but this is probably my favorite episode of the series so far, but it doesn't still, it still doesn't leave a lot left to be desired necessarily.
Right. You wouldn't say this was a good, like, good episode.
No, I think it was decent though.
Okay. I think it's decent.
I think it might be, well, again, so like even the premiere episode, I felt like we thought was off to a good start.
Yeah, it was decent.
And then things kind of just went off the deep end.
Yeah.
But there were some redeeming qualities in my mind to this episode. Mm-hmm. You may feel differently. So we'll start with your broad thoughts and then I'll dive into maybe a little bit of why I liked some of the things in this episode.
Sure.
A little bit more than I guess the previous weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I think there is like some, like Manny Jacinto is interesting in this episode. I think he does bring up some like interesting plot lines that they could go down, his history, all that. I agree. That's pretty interesting and probably like what's keeping me around for the last two episodes. I would say my issues with this episode is like I think it's reached a new low of like conveniences in this episode, from Saul's transmission to the Jedi Council being scratchy for no apparent reason. They leave the atmosphere, the ship's fine. He starts sending this message to the Jedi Council like, hey, all of my people were massacred, but conveniently doesn't talk about a lightsaber wielder killed all of them. He's just like, they were all massacred. And it's all choppy, and then the ship loses power out of nowhere just to like stop a conversation between him and May just as he's about to reveal what happened 16 years ago. There was just a lot of conveniences in this episode that I was just sitting there shaking my head. I know at one point Vernestra and that one Padawan show up to the planet. They see all the dead Jedi, and the first thing the guy says is, oh, Master Soul probably did this. And I was like, how did he get there? How did we get there from just, like, looking around? Just a lot of jarring moments. Saul leaving the atmosphere, like, in a rush, even though his Padawan's dead. He now knows this is May and knows that Osha's probably still on the planet, and he's just like, yeah, we got to go into hyperspace. So, yeah, for me, this episode, again, the pacing, like, I don't really know how much was accomplished in this episode, really. You know, we get some backstory from Manny Jacinto's character, but everything else just feels like a snail's pace moving forward. So those are my main issues, and we'll get into those a little bit more in detail. But yeah, I'm curious to see where it landed with you.
Yeah, I the first point that you bring up is definitely something that I also thought. I like Manny Jacinto, and I had seen him previously in A Good Place. And I think he's in something else where he has like a small part, a bigger movie that came out recently. But this is like the first time I've seen him do something very different acting wise. And I thought he did a good job with what he was given. I also felt we've criticized the writing a lot this season. And I don't disagree in terms of the cliches or the conveniences that were happening in terms of the story structure of the episode. But I did feel like there were some lines of dialogue that just hit a little bit better and they connected a little bit better. A lot of what Chimier said this episode, I actually liked a lot more than what he said last episode.
Yeah.
So a lot of the conversation that he was having with Osha was interesting to me. But the thing that I think is keeping me a little bit more intrigued after this episode, and what you saw a little bit more with this episode, is the fracturing and the differentiation between all of these people are shadowy in some way, shape, or form. Like, you're starting to see, and we've talked about this, like, you alluded to this, I think, after, like, episode 3, where you're like, it would be interesting to see if they flipped. And they're setting it up that that is what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
The thing that sucks about it is that it's in the forefront too much, where it feels like we already know what's gonna happen. If they do something that's completely different than what we're thinking, that might be something where it's like, where did this even come from? And that might be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because of how much they're kind of putting out there that seem like, for a mystery, it's pretty obvious what's happening. And we're predicting it week to week on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things I had said to you before we started recording that I do think plays into that a little bit, which worries me, and I don't want to be like a whistleblower. I don't know if this is true. It's just rumors that I had heard as well. But I know this show, obviously, first of all, the show, like we've alluded to many times before, costs like $180 million to make. Now, despite that, it doesn't necessarily always look like a $180 million show. And a lot of the Disney Plus shows for the last few years have been getting massive reshoots. Like everything, not just Star Wars. Marvel's been getting them. Like Willow got reshoots. Like a lot of their Disney Plus programming was getting reshoots. What I worry about is that did they come in with such a mysterious and not cookie cutter sort of mystery series that was too dark and too didn't test well, maybe with some test audiences, that they decided, you know what, let's reshoot a lot of this. Let's try to give a lot of people what they want in terms of like not making it so hard to follow or so hard to understand. But now it's like so dumbed down that it feels like anyone is able to predict what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's my biggest fear. I do like that this is the first episode since probably maybe the Coven episode in which there's actual questions that I have remaining. Like, I think that the fact that we're finally getting Sol in a position where he even seemed, we know that, like, it's been alluded to that he did something he shouldn't have done. But we're finally getting a moment where he looks menacing and he's like, there's a bit of a change in terms of his character.
There was a definitive turn in this episode in the way that they frame Sol and Manny Jacinto's character. By the end of it, you're looking at Quimir as someone that is being friendly to Osha and one of the siblings. And on the other side, we have Sol constraining Mei literally to a table and saying, you're going to listen to my story. I've been thinking about this for a while. And I'll give the episode credit for the imagery that, you know, we have Osha and Chimera on an island and it's very open. He's able to just do as he pleases. He goes for swims. It's very freeing, very much trying to drive home that point that the Sith aren't shackled by anything like the Jedi are. And that is juxtaposed by Sol and Mei being on a very confined ship. And then by the end, Mei is physically restrained and Sol is restraining her. So it's like trying to say, look at how the Jedi treat the Force and look at how the dark side treats the Force. Look how freeing the dark side is. That's a very fine line. I think it's an interesting use of imagery, but at the end of the day, the show can't justify the dark side. The show can't say using fear, anger, and hate, like Quimir says, is a good thing. Like, they can't say that because then that just ruins Star Wars.
Well, that's what I want to talk. That's a great transitional point.
Perfect.
Because I do agree with you it doesn't stand by what the standard of Star Wars is and what the pure identity and definition of what light and dark and the rule of two means in the world of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, this, again, in terms of timeline, right? How far before does this show take place in terms of the next thing that we've seen in Star Wars media in terms of film and television?
100 years before.
100 years before. Phantom Menace, yeah. So there's a lot of time there.
Yeah.
If there was an end point or an end goal with this series, I'm sure I know the answer. But if they go in a way in which the Jedi have come up with a label to as the dark side to be this thing in which it is kind of just dismissing anything that they believe is to be true. Would you see a little bit of in the Coven, right? Like when the Jedi arrive, they're like, no, this isn't up to snuff with us.
Right.
So you guys can't have kids. Like we're not playing that game. Right. Mm-hmm. Essentially, if they go in that direction with it, even though it's so far removed and we can maybe potentially see in that 100-year span, another series or a movie where they show how they rectify that and how the rule of two, all that stuff. Right. Would you be okay with that or still no, because in your mind, that's not the identity of what Star Wars is? Because it takes place at a time that is not connected necessarily directly to the Phantom Menace. Yeah. If it's taking place 100 years beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a loaded question. So I think first and foremost, timeline aside, just ethos of Star Wars, you shouldn't mess with the main themes of it, of light and dark, good and evil. Like, those are what George Lucas put down. This series was created to teach those life lessons. It's supposed to be a modern mythology to kids. You see the dark path, you see the light path, and you have the choice, selfish, selflessness. And there isn't a justification for the Sith. By the end of the original trilogy, you aren't like, I understand why Palpatine does the way he does what he does. Even Darth Vader, you appreciate, you empathize with what he went through and his redemption, but you're never saying Darth Vader's doing the right thing. Like, yeah, this is all good stuff that he's doing. Like, it is supposed to be very cut and dry. I appreciate the gray area with, like, Andor and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the Force, you know, the light side is the hard path because, you know, forgiveness, patience, discipline are all things that take time. And the dark side is the easy path. Hate, aggression, fear, those are easy emotions that you can give into. And that's very applicable to life. And that's what Yoda says in The Empire Strikes Back. He's like, dark side's a quick and easy path, but it's a path down into the wrong place and you're not going to be the same person. So, long-winded answer, the Jedi are still supposed to be upholding the truth of the pathos of Star Wars. Like, the light side is a good. It is a good thing. 100%. And the organization of the Jedi can be flawed, but they were flawed in the way of they became complacent because they had kind of kept the galaxy at peace for so long that evil was able to fester because they became complacent and dogmatic, and they came too close to the Republic, and they became more of an enforcement arm of the Republic and less of a religious order that was alongside the Republic and helped where they felt needed instead of being like, hey, we need to invade this planet, Jedi, you lead the troops.
Yeah.
It's very different. So I think, you know, there are things that they could set up with, you know, Darth Plagueis, Darth Tenebris, who is Plagueis's master, and then that leads to Darth Sidious in the prequels. That 100 years would make sense, kind of, to lead up to that, because Sidious is an older senator at the beginning of Phantom Menace, so that's 50 years right there where he could be, you know, training as an apprentice. So, I mean, they could tie it into all that. I don't think it exactly makes this better. I also don't think that if they did tie it in, that they should make Tenebris, Plagueis, and the lineage of the Sith to be an empathetic one. Like, if they make Kumeer, like, almost out to be, not a hero, but almost like, I get where he's coming from. If you justify Kumeer and then he leads into these other Sith, it's a very slippery slope to then say, like, Sidious's lineage is one of, like, the Jedi's doing. Because I don't think that's an accurate representation of what George Lucas wanted to tell. And I think it undercuts the
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But I think they're going that way. Okay, well, so even if you think about, like, on the flip side of it, right? Because you're talking about Kymir. But let's look at it from Sol's perspective and Vernestra, who we haven't talked too much about, even this whole season, who is there hasn't been
much to talk about with her.
Who's but that's a character from the novels that you said had a whole different identity, essentially.
Yeah, she was a prodigy. She was good. She was interesting. She was warm in the series. She is not warm
at all.
But they do give a nice little nod to the novels when they go into hyperspace, and she's like, I don't really like hyperspace. It's like unnerving for me. And that's in the book, she gets visions during hyperspace travel. I thought that was pretty cool that they did make that connection.
Yeah. But so in terms of, and it's not completely told to you, but like we were just talking about before, there's a lot that's kind of put out on a silver platter for the viewers to eat up in this show.
For sure.
One of the things is that we do get a view of Kymir's scars that he has on his back that look like they could have been from a whip.
Right.
And then we see Vernestra use this lightsaber whip.
Right.
Which, again, may just be convenience. But if they're going in that direction where these are these people that are prominent Force users that are Jedi, and they're going in that direction, at some point they're going to be flipping, right? So how do you feel about that? Because, again, even in like the prequels, like Dooku was a Jedi.
Yeah.
And eventually goes the way of the Sith. And Anakin, obviously.
Because he saw the issues with the Jedi Order. And that's why he left. So, again, it was very much within that.
But you don't think that that's what Kymir's whole mentality is?
I think he's against the Jedi, but I think his understanding of the Force is fundamentally incorrect with the dark side and the light side. Dooku fell because he thought he was doing the right thing because he couldn't follow the Jedi Order anymore. And in that pursuit, he fell to the darkness because he felt that Sidious promised him that he would be able to bring the Republic back together. That's why he becomes Sidious's apprentice, which we see in Tales of the Jedi, they did a great job of showing. Mm-hmm. So what was the first part of that question?
So the first part is the seeing the Jedi kind of have this darker way about them.
Yeah.
And then in relation to that, Chimer kind of challenging the Jedi's ways of doing things, and it's why he's going the way of the Sith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think him challenging the way of the Jedi is interesting, but again, the show can't say it's the right thing. The show can't, at the end of this, say like what he's doing is correct and that the Jedi have always been the bad guys or wrong. So that's a very thin line that they're walking.
Yeah.
And by the end of the show, they need to nail that landing, and it's very scary if they don't.
Can I cut you off for a second?
Yeah, of course.
I'm sorry, because I'm thinking as you're talking.
Yeah, no,
this is
what
I'm thinking.
I see the mind. Yeah, yeah. I see the mind going.
I feel like what they're, and again, this might not be successful. I think I'm understanding it more.
Good.
Because it's happening, but I think that maybe, and we don't know the end of the show yet.
Yeah.
I think that they're going in a direction where they can have the audience look and see that there could be good and bad on either side, which might not be a good thing, mm-hmm. like you're saying. But if you look at like, just take the characters we brought up so far. Even, all right, let's just break it down to Sol, Chimer, Mei, Osha, mm-hmm. right? Throughout the show, and you're seeing it now a lot more prominently in the last few episodes, you are seeing both sides of each of those characters prominently, mm-hmm. right? Like, it was Osha and Sol representing the good and the Jedi, and Mei and Chimer representing the Sith.
Yeah.
And then Mei and Osha get flipped. Mm-hmm. Now, Mei is in a place in disarray where it seems like she may be getting flipped to understanding a little bit more of the reason why Sol did what he did, having her more aligning with the Jedi's vision, mm-hmm. where we end this episode with Osha putting on Chimer's helmet.
Right.
So I don't know if they're going in that direction, but it's like there are certain ways where they might be having the viewer be like, doesn't mean they have to agree with it, mm-hmm. which is, again, that's what's hard about what you're talking about, that fine line, because even if you're like, for casual viewers, it might be too heady, but at the same time, it is kind of convenient. But it's like, you could see why Chimer feels the way that he does, but it's still not okay with what he's doing. And Sol is like the same thing. It's like, obviously, whatever he did has to be catastrophic because they keep holding on to it. Mm-hmm. And we have two episodes left and we still have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
And we're going to probably find out next episode because it seems like we end on that and we're going to lead into that. So in terms of that, like,
yeah, I mean, there's been Jedi that have fallen. We've seen Asajj Ventress. She was a Padawan, and then she was her master died. She was left alone. Count Dooku found her. She became a Sith assassin. We've seen that kind of back and forth, and then she's kind of been redeemed by the end of Clone Wars. Darth Maul, we understand why he is the way he is, but he's fueled by revenge and hatred and anger, and then ultimately fear of Sidious, his old master. Mm-hmm. So we can understand why he hates Obi-Wan and wants to kill him. We can understand his mission, but we don't align with him like he's doing the right thing. And I think, again, Chimer has killed Jedi in cold blood. You know, they weren't provoked. He came upon them and he threatened them.
Yeah.
They were defensive. He killed all of them.
And he led an assassination attempt of
plenty of other Jedi. Yes. So again, they need to be very particular with that. And I just think overall in the Clone Wars and even in the prequels, they painted the Jedi in a way where they were still the good guys, but we understand that they failed.
Yeah.
They never painted them as like deliberately doing bad things. And, you know, Sol hasn't done that yet. We don't know what happened with the Coven. Maybe it was the Coven attacked them and he overstepped that and killed and now he's been regretting that. Maybe that's what happened. So I don't want to predict what happened without seeing it yet. Yeah. We don't know. But there is a very good, and Clone Wars proved it, there is an interesting way to paint the Jedi in a bad light without making them the bad guys. You can make them antagonistic to our main characters like Ahsoka in the final arc of the Clone Wars. We can make them, you know, the problem with the Republic and the war, and they weren't really, Sidious really did it, but at the end of the day, they did allow themselves to lose their way, and the Clone Wars explored that, and they were cold towards people during the war, like, they, you know, someone would lose their parents, and they would kind of just be like, they're one with the Force now, and it's kind of like, that doesn't help, like, normal people, like, you can't just spout platitudes at people, and they're gonna be like, oh, okay, I feel better now, like, that isn't a they aren't intentionally trying to be bad, but it comes off as a very like cold, uncaring thing, and that's fine. But it's just very important that the Jedi way is the correct way. Like, Luke at the end of The Return of the Jedi is a good thing. Like, that is the purest form of the Jedi, and Darth Vader becoming a Jedi again to save his son, that's a good thing. Like, the Jedi Order, even though it has lost its way, still needs to be that tentpole of Star Wars that is a fundamentally good thing. And I understand that it could get twisted, and that's what I think the Clone Wars and prequels explored in a much better and nuanced way.
I 100% agree.
And I think
with you.
The Acolyte, we have to see what they do with Solo.
Well, that's where I'm curious too, because so one of the other things that everybody I've seen in the criticism and the reviews too throughout the beginning of the show, I think we might have talked about this in one of the first episodes, like, where the fuck is Yoda? Like, Yoda just isn't around, which is an interesting thing. I'm curious if they're saving him.
I'm assuming, like, it'll be, like, a last scene type of thing. Yeah. Like, the High Council. Like, but they so come to, like...
Yeah. This is where I'm thinking now, too. And like, I feel a certain way about it. But, again, like, you're a hardcore Star Wars fan. So, I understand you probably have a different opinion
fine.
And thought, too. But it's, like, if this is showing us what came before of the Jedi that we hadn't seen previously. Because this is the earliest iteration of Jedi that we've seen in film and television.
Yeah.
For everybody.
In the visual form.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. So, and the unfortunate thing that we've talked about is that they don't give a fuck about the novels, it seems.
Right. Yeah.
So if they don't, it would make sense that they might be trying to point out this as, like, the bad era of the Jedi.
Yeah.
That they can then retcon through 100 years of film and television. I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I'm justifying that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I think I'm starting to understand with time passing and seeing what they're going for. And this episode, I felt like did the best job of showing that. Okay. We don't know if that's going to happen. We, like you said, we still have two episodes left.
Yeah.
But I think it's at least an interesting idea. It's the first time that I've thought about that in Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't disagree with you that I think that if the writing in the show was better, I think it would be coming off in a much different way.
For sure.
Yeah. I think that the ideas that the show is trying to present make sense. Mm-hmm. And I think that it could be very interesting.
Yes.
But the problem has been that you haven't made, we talked about this last week too, you haven't made us care enough about the characters. Like, the fact that it took us 6 episodes to care about a second character in Chimer,
right,
who's not even the lead necessarily, and the fact that we even care about what he's saying and he's representing the Sith is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you did bring up one other thing that I was curious about, and this kind of has to do with it, but kind of doesn't, because sure. Part of it is also, like we're talking about, can be seen from the Sith perspective, right? In this. And you're talking about how it needs to be cut and dry in terms of, like, the good and the light, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you, like, there are people that want to see, like, a Darth Vader series at some point. People are asking for that. Doesn't, I don't know if you're that type of person, but people ask for it. If that was to happen, would you be okay with getting a Sith perspective? Because so much of that would be...
I'm okay with the Sith perspective. But the theme of the story can't be that the Sith are justified in what they do. That's really the goal of it. Like, we had arcs in the Clone Wars where we followed, you know, Asajj Ventress, like, specifically, and she was the main character for the 4 episodes, or Darth Maul when he returns. Like, they are the main character. So I'm fine seeing the Sith perspective. The Darth Plagueis novel, which everyone's bringing up, like, that is completely from the Sith perspective. Sidious, Plagueis. They have the Darth Bane trilogy, you know, the Rule of Two they talk about. That's completely from the Sith perspective. They can pull it off. It just, at the end of the day, it just has to be intriguing in the fact that, you know, you're seeing the antagonist the whole time. Like, you know, there will be blood. Like, the main character is not a good guy. You know he's not a good guy. You're not justifying anything he's doing. But you're all along for the ride, and he's an interesting character to follow. So I think they can do that. I think Darth Vader is more interesting because you know there's a good side to him. But I think if you follow a Sith character, it's possible in Star Wars. They haven't been able to do it in the visual medium like it for a specific, like, full series.
Yeah,
they've done those arcs. They could do it. It's just, again, the themes that have made Star Wars so beloved for 40, 50 years need to stay intact, or then it just becomes, like, I don't know, like, just bad fan fiction.
Yeah. Well, so I'm reading in an article too that Leslie Headland was asked in a recent interview about Chimer and Osha and that dynamic, and she says that Obi-Wan describing Darth Vader as being seduced by the dark side has always stuck out to her.
Yeah.
And that's very clear in what we're seeing in this episode.
For sure.
I think.
Yeah.
So in terms of that, and Last Jedi has things like that, but again, I think it's a problem in terms of pulling it off.
Right. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
this is probably doing the same thing. So in terms of what would you like to see in the last two episodes? And I know it's going to be impossible to turn this whole show around. We know that already.
Right. Yeah.
So not that point, but at least that you can get satisfied with an ending that could lead into something progressing any of these characters forward. What would it take for you to feel something in that way?
Yeah.
I know that's a loaded question.
I really don't know. I think like what you brought up with Chimera is very, very interesting. He's being the seductive, like silver tongue, dark side user Sith who just is using anything they can to get an apprentice, and they'll tap into anything they need to with their apprentice to get them to come to their side. So in this case, he knows that she left the Jedi Order and says it, you didn't leave, you failed. Or like they forced you to leave because they sensed darkness within you. So I do like that he's filling that role. Hopefully again, by the end, they don't, you know, make everything he's saying to be true. It's just simply he's using her to get to a means to an end. So I guess the next two episodes, we obviously have to see what happens at the coven. I would love for it to be the Jedi are at fault, but the coven are more at fault, or there was a third party like Chimera, like he was likely there and he's been alive for a long time. So we know he could have had his hand in it, and he might have caused the misunderstanding that caused the coven to lash out. The Jedi defended themselves, maybe went too far, and that's why they all feel guilty about it. That's interesting. Chimera, Osha, May, that dynamic may somehow turning a new leaf, which we've seen her do 16 times in the past.
That's where I think that's a major problem, right? Is that
right.
She decidedly just goes, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And then she also, now in this episode, the first time you see her, she's got a knife behind her back.
Yeah.
Trying to still kind of go out with Chimera's plan.
Right, right.
So
yeah, so somehow this story that Sol is going to tell her might help her empathize and deal with the trauma that she went through at the time. That'll cause her to want to find Osha. Osha may have already fallen at this point with Chimera. And those four characters, those four central characters will have some sort of showdown or something to the effect of, you know, May and Osha needing each other to bring balance or like save each other. Chimera.
I would hate that. I want one of them to die.
That's fine. That's total. Yeah. I just mean like May or Osha, like they need each other to come back to light, whether it's like Darth Vader and it's a sacrifice, but he ends up on the light side, whatever it is. Like, that's what I think would be interesting. Chimera, I think, as we've maybe heard from Leslie Headland, is there might be more with him in the future, so I don't know if he's gonna die. And Master Sol, I mean, if we think from a character arc perspective, how did we start this series? We started with him being the comforting Jedi that maybe manipulated Osha and May and maybe caused all this. What would his redemption, or if he doesn't get redemption by the end? The big thing is he probably has to die because the council can't find out about this dark side user that killed all these Jedi. So again, I don't know. And I think they're trying to, again, be very heavy handed with their writing, with the Padawan being like, oh, Master Sol might have done this. And then that's going to become this whole thing where they frame, not intentionally, but they just pin it on Master Sol, like Master Sol killed everyone. He dies. So then they can just be like, he killed everyone on that planet. No Sith have returned.
Yeah, which would be too cookie cutter, because we could figure that out.
Exactly. Because
in terms of the storytelling. The
first thing this Padawan says is, oh, Master Sol could have done this.
Yeah, I think
what that, Jedi would have, like, what?
I think that's the most frustrating thing, which, sorry to beat everybody's head in with it, but it's like, there are some interesting perspectives and some stronger ideas that are built within this show.
Yeah.
But they're being told in such a poor way in terms of the writing and the story structure, even more, like, again, there's moments of dialogue that are silly, whatever. There are moments in almost every Star Wars property where there is silly dialogue that is happening.
For sure.
But in terms of story structure, they know what they want for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
With this show, I don't know if they know what they want to tell. I don't know if their whole idea is to be mysterious and to just be like, yeah, well, we'll leave it up to you. And it's like, that's not...
It's mystery in the sense that it's so vague that it's mysterious.
It's manipulative mystery. Yes, is exactly. Basically what it is.
For sure.
Yeah, 100%.
This show could have been wrapped up by now, but they've just added so many little like points of like convenience where it's like, no, wait, don't tell anyone yet. I'll tell you when we get back to the ship. Master Soul says that in the forest. I'll tell you when we get back to the ship. They get back to the ship. They're about to tell. The power goes off. Can't tell you that. And so it's like manipulatively just like elongating the series just to like, oh, look how mysterious this is. You don't know what happened. Look, we still haven't told you.
I feel like we could have made this show 6 episodes.
Easily.
We could have combined probably elements of 3 episodes into 1.
Yep.
This could have been the penultimate, and we could have ended on the next episode probably. I don't know what we're going to get.
Yeah.
In 7 and 8, this was the most, this was also, even though this was probably my favorite episode of the show so far, this is the one that I felt like there could have been so much more time.
Yeah.
Like it could, this episode, I mean, a lot of this show has been short, which is a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But this episode in particular, I'm like, we're finally actually getting some meat on the bone here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're ending with Osha breathing in a helmet. That like,
shit was so dumb.
Which, yeah, it becomes that whole thing of like, for people to be like, it's like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme. Like, oh, I know that. I know that. People have been with that. That's Darth Vader. I get it. Yeah. So that's the thing where it becomes disappointing. But again, I think I'm at least starting to somewhat understand what they're going for. Do I think they're going to pull it off? I don't have confidence in that because mm-hmm. the way that the story has been told thus far, I don't think they're going to wrap it up in the most effective way. But I know there was a lot of things in this episode that just didn't, it was just frustrating to see. I think that May as a character in general has become so frustrating because we have no idea what she is doing. There's really no indication of, like, we know that she had a little bit of an anger streak when she was younger,
mm-hmm.
and they show that as she's older. But at the same time, she's a flip-flopper. She is not, her decision-making is motivated by one thing, but then when that is completely thrown away in her face, she still doesn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that there were some specific things that bothered you this episode. What was something that stood out to you that you were just like, this is the same thing we've been fed for the last 5 weeks?
Kind of like the first couple minutes where like, yeah, like Soul just abandons his paddle. He doesn't realize that this is May, even though, you know, Osha he trained and like knew since she was a child.
Mm-hmm.
He can't sense her somehow. He's a Jedi master, cannot sense her, can read other people's minds to make them, can't sense her, doesn't notice obviously that she has a spiral on her forehead from the ceremony.
I that's a fair point.
He doesn't notice any of that. He only knows that it's May by the end because Basil tells him. But again, Basil this whole episode is just like running around the ship when he like knows. Like, why doesn't he just go to Soul like in the first 5 minutes, like, hey, that not good person? Like,
yeah.
That was all really just frustrating. Again, the convenience of him like just leaving the planet in a rush for just like no reason. Like, he's like gets on the ship, he's like, I need to get into hyperspace right now for just no reason, because like his Padawan just died, all these Jedi just died, he just leaves them. He's like, oh, I'll contact them to get the cleanup crew to go pick up the Jedi, and he's just like, I gotta go.
Do you think he's in a rush because maybe whatever he's alluding to in his past is reflecting what happened in that episode?
I mean, yeah, maybe, like, he's running from it, but I don't understand, like, why him being there would be an issue. Like, when Venestra and them show up, like, all these dead Jedi, like, does he think that they're gonna show up and be like, oh, did you do this? I don't really know what's motivating him to just like run away from this really quickly.
Yeah,
I already talked about the convenience of like the ship breaking down for no reason.
Yeah.
The communication being extremely vague just because they don't want to give away the secret yet. So, and then the Jedi on Venestra's side, like, oh, you just said like Jedi died, and then she's like, okay, we need to get there, I'm going on this mission. And it was just like very just, yeah, so those were all just like basic issues. And then again, just that fine line that Manny Jacinto's character needs to walk. Like, the dark side is not, we shouldn't be teaching kids that the dark side is like a good thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That is a core tenet that George Lucas established. Like, fear, anger, hatred, all the stuff that he says in this episode. He's like, oh, semantics. Like, he could be saying that. Obviously, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Just saying that just to lure Osha to his side, like, uh-huh. That's totally fine. That's what a Sith would do. but by the end of this, it can't be like, I tapped into my hatred and my fear and my good side, and that's what made me strong to we can't be, that's not what balance is, and like selfishness and selflessness all coming together, like what balance is. So that's just fundamentally incorrect.
If he represents the gray area until the end of the series, still, would you accept that, or do you?
I think he's darkness. Like he might like come off as like the silver tongue, like gray, but he has done dark things and like isn't really. He's already fulfilled the dark side role. Like if it was a thing where he didn't kill anyone yet, but he was very much in the shadows, like manipulating things and maybe not causing death, but not aligned with the Jedi, not aligned with the Sith, then I'd be more inclined to okay, that's gray. Asajj Ventress really fills that role where she, you know, she leaves the Sith, but she left the Jedi. So she becomes like just a
rogue
for herself. Yeah. She's just like a bounty hunter for hire, but she has like a code of honor and she kind of in the middle. We might see more from her in animation. Her story might go on because we see her pop up in Bad Batch season 3, but she more fulfills that gray area than him. Like she's repented for what she did before, but she's not like with the Jedi either. Jedi did her wrong as well. So I like where she's at. Kamir, he's just on the bad side, but thinks he's on the right side. That like it's like the Joker. Like you think you're the hero of your own story. Like I want anarchy. That's what Kamir kind of wants, but we know the Joker is wrong. Like we know the Joker is wrong, even though he can make people turn, and that's what makes him interesting. He doesn't do the bad things, he makes other people do.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
So that's where I'm at. But
yeah.
I think you're very excited about Kamir, and that's a good thing.
I think I'm excited just to see what comes of him. I think that it was the first time since the beginning of the show that I've been interested.
Which is
valuable. For a viewer of television, it is interesting that I could watch this episode and I could be like, oh, there's a nugget there. There's something
Six
that
episodes
I can.
In. We're good.
Well, that's what I mean. Exactly. That's the problem with it. But I won't deny the fact that still I think that I'm just so like I will never get the answers. Because we never get the answers. But I wish there was like a tell-all book of like what the fuck happened with the show.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's like, to me, the ideas, there was so much hype behind the show. People were really excited about the ideas of it.
Me.
And yeah, I think most of the audience. And I mean, again, there are people that like the show, but for the most part, a lot of people either don't like the show or they're not watching the show. So I don't know, man. I mean, we got 2 weeks left. We're going to have to wait and see what happens. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I think we covered it. I mean, we went in on just like Star Wars. Like, I feel like we talked about this episode and stuff, but I think we got like into the
nerdy territory,
the gritty like themes and just like below the surface. Like, this wasn't like shallow. Like, we went like, what does Star Wars mean? This is what George Lucas wanted, and here's what we need to uphold, or else it's not Star Wars anymore. So I appreciated that, and I hope, you know, maybe if you're casual fans watching, I hope you appreciated that deep dive and also talking about the filmmaking aspect of it.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to also highlight so much of where the foundation of this series started, but I do think there's something interesting about the way they play with time. I just think there's something there. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that they were able, that they made this show to do something different in a manipulative way in which it's like, if people don't like this, we could just retcon it. Like, it takes place 100 years ahead of time. We can just, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying, again, which I said in the review, I'm not supporting that idea. I think that you should stand by every decision that you make. But the fact that they made this show that takes place 100 years before Phantom Menace, like, there's so much time in between that they can fix what this may end up doing to canon.
That's a very interesting way to plan it, but I don't put it past Disney.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens. But just want you to plug all your socials for your podcast, and then we'll just sign off.
Yeah, so you can find me over at star_wars_mark of balance on Instagram. I run a podcast called Star Wars Mark of Balance. This is the first week I'm recording our episode before my own episode because I'm going away tomorrow, so I got to record this one and then another one. But I go a little bit more deeper into Star Wars. Like, today's conversation was like kind of where I go with what I do, and also talk about the filmmaking stuff. So appreciate bringing that to this forum. But also over there, I'll talk in everything from books to video games to TV to movies, anything Star Wars, I'm probably covering it. So would love to have you over there.
Dude, you're going to be busy with video games. I feel like there's a lot of Star Wars video games coming out.
Yeah, we got Outlaws at the end of August. And then there's a lot announced, but, yeah, but Star Wars video games just loves announcing things and be like, ah, that studio's closed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, great. Oh my God, the video game industry. That's a whole other thing. But hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, please be sure to give this video a like and comment your thoughts on The Acolyte and episode 6 in particular. What did you guys think? Like I said, this was my favorite episode of the season.
Darian loves The Acolyte.
I wouldn't go that far, but there were ideas that I enjoyed with this that I hope that they can wrap up in an effective way that might get this series over a 5. Who knows? That'd be great. But let us know in the comments what you guys think, and if you guys can subscribe. We are the Culture Wave Media Network. We cover everything in film and television right now. We're wrapping up with the next 2 weeks of Acolyte. We just did our full season 3 review of The Bear. We have The Boys that we're covering week to week, House of the Dragon, tons of movies that are coming out. Really excited for Deadpool and Wolverine. That's at the end of the month. So please be sure to check out all our content if you can. And you can follow us on social media. We are at Cinema Wave Media and at _ Culture Wave Media on Instagram, as well as at Cinema Wave Media on TikTok and Threads, and then Culture Wave on Facebook. Just signing off, I am Darian Scalamoni.
I'm Mark Iacobino.
And we'll see you guys next time.
This is The Culture.